are, those URLs are throwaways. I mean, those domains are throwaways. They don't care about the domains. They don't care if you shut them down. They just get another domain.
Right.
And they just don't pay for the domains that shut down. The domain name becomes free. A couple months later, they reuse the same domain name again.
Yep.
Re-register it again. And the spammers, when they re-register, they got all these mail proxy servers already set up, ready to go. They got like hundreds of them in China already set up, ready to go. So when one gets shut down, they just repoint the DNS to the next one, and it starts up again where the next one left off, and it just keeps going that way.
We need to pause here for a couple seconds.
Yeah, we need to do our station IDs. If you can hold on for just a minute, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I need to go pretty soon, too, so let's try to wind things up after your station break, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, well, if you hold on, then we'll get right back to you.
Yeah, I'll stand by. Yeah, okay.
Entertaining music, engaging conversation, Awoke Satellite Radio Network.
106.3 FM.
WTND.
LP McComb, the voice.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Okay. We're back.
And we're back. This is hour two of Tech This for Friday, April 21st, 2006. We're speaking with John Draper. And, well, then we should quickly, because we really thought we'd... it sounds like you got to go. We kind of blocked the whole show.
No, well, actually, I can stick around for a little bit longer.
Okay. Because we need to probably get out of the computer stuff and get on to all the other good stuff that everybody wants to hear about.
Yeah, people are clamoring to hear hear a little bit of your history and give us some, some of your...
Well, just ask me questions, and I can certainly talk about it.
Okay. Well,
there's so many different things that I did. I just can't spontaneously pick one. You pick one, and you ask me questions.
The most simplest one is, and a lot of people know this, but it'd be nice to hear from your mouth why you were called Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch is a cereal,
right?
That had a whistle inside the cereal box, and they called it a Captain Crunch whistle. It's a little plastic toy, and if you glue one of the holes in the plastic toy, it will send out a 2600 hertz tone, and it's that tone that used to activate the phone company and drop you into a long distance trunk. But that was like 20 years ago, and all that equipment now doesn't exist anymore. So the Captain Crunch whistle really means nothing as far as like a tool to make free calls.
Yeah. Did you?
That's how the name came.
I guess the question in my mind was, did you end up using the tool yourself? Was it something that you came up with
No, I didn't actually use it. I was just one of the guys that was. I was one of the electronic nerds that knew how to build it.
Right. Okay. Well, I understand that, and you build a lot of the boxes, so to speak, from what I understand. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just experimenting around with the boxes because the blue box gave you access to the telephone network, not from subscriber level, but from a trunk level.
Exactly.
Which offered you a lot more power and capability of doing things.
That makes good sense. And
you could route your calls, and you could do things like call special operators. You can also special routing codes. You can route your calls certain directions, certain ways.
You could stack tandems. You could do all kinds of fun things.
Yeah. If you go to phonetrips.org.
Oh, yes. Phonetrips is a wonderful, wonderful place.
Yeah, phonetrips.org. And then there's, it's called wideweb.org/phonetrips.
Okay.
In there, there's a classic tape called Tandem Stacking. It's great. It's got the biggest tandem stack ever recorded for
cool.
Doorbell.
Yeah, we've had several that play on our station.
You go up there and check that out.
Yeah, we actually have a couple of different hosts over the years that have played episodes of that, and we've had some of the people on the show here at different times from the world of hacking.
Rob in the chat room says, talk about the time he got in trouble with the White House. I think it was toilet paper. Someone wrote a number down.
Yeah, the White House toilet paper crisis.
So someone's wanting to know that history.
Okay. One of the things that I did a lot of, I was scanning 800 numbers. It turns out that it's easy to, you have an 800 prefix, right? And that 800 prefix means you, out of every prefix, you have a total of 10,000 possible combinations of four digits, right? You've got 10,000 possible combinations of numbers you could call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not really true. You really have not 10,000, you only have really 1,000. Because the last digit tells you what number you're calling, but the second to the last digit tells you what bank you're in.
Mm.
And if you're in the wrong bank, it's very easy to tell, and you skip to the next bank, so you skip in groups of tens when you scan. Now, that's not true anymore, by the way, so for those people who want to try this, it's not going to work anymore, not the way it used to.
Mainly because they can map any number to anything now.
Yeah, exactly. So 800-424 at that time was the Washington, D.C. So I knew that 800-424 numbers went to Washington, D.C., and I knew that Washington, D.C. must have a lot of interesting numbers in there. And I knew that a lot of these interesting numbers meant that there's a lot of numbers in there that are not published. There's all kinds of government agencies in Washington, D.C. So I started scanning the entire Washington, D.C. area for every single possible 800 number that Washington, D.C. would ever have. And I recorded every single one of them. Most of them went to companies. Some of them went to congressional watts extender numbers, special tie line numbers that can drop you into trunk lines, into the Congress or into the Capitol building. Some of them dropped you into the federal telephone system. Others, you know, so I found a lot of really interesting and cool access numbers. I could go into the military Autobahn from a number. I called it into it. I got this weird chink noise. I said, oh, that's interesting. And I sent 2600 and it dropped me into a SSB recording. I said, oh, that's a Autobahn. Sure enough, it was an FTS number. It's actually one of the federal agencies or something. And then there was this one number, 424-9337, that this guy answered the phone and was extremely rude. I said, what number have I reached? The guy says, you haven't reached any number. Get off this line. This is a private line. I says, excuse me, sorry. And so I hung up. And I marked that number down. Only reason why it showed up on my radar to begin with is because the person at the other end of it was extremely rude to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only reason. I would have just ignored it any other time. Okay, so I wrote that number down, and I made it marked it as a number of a potential social engineering effort. So I waited a couple of days. I called back the number again, and this time I told the guy at the other end, I said, this is White Plains 4A Toll Switching Center, AT&T, Long Lines Division. We're having a translation problem into this number. What number have we reached, sir? He says, this is the White House. This is a CIA crisis hotline number. Okay, thank you very much, sir, and I hung up. So now I have the number. I knew what that number went to now. I said, well, this is really interesting. There's also another feature at the time.
Well, you did a little social engineering there.
Yeah.
There was another time where I had to, where it's possible to use auto verify to drop in on the line. Since I had tandem access to the 202 area, I got into the trunking that lets me do auto verify. And so I went into a special code into that number, auto verify, and I sat on the line and waited for a while. And then when a call came in, I learned that the code name for President Nixon, and it was like Olympus, I think. And so the call came in, I couldn't hear it very well because it had a scrambler on it, because when you use the auto verify, it scrambles the audio, so you can't really hear it very well. But I heard enough of it to where I could understand some of it. It wasn't a very good scrambler, by the way. It was horrible. It was very intelligible.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, but you can understand.
After a while, and so after that, I wrote down Olympus. A couple weeks later, I go to a party with some phone freaks, and one of the guys had this really interesting number. I wanted to get it. He says, what you got to trade? And I says, well, I'll trade this number. And it says, an 800 number to the White House. It's the CIA crisis hotline number. He says, you want it? And I says, yeah! So I gave him the number. Now, little known by me, the guy ran upstairs to verify the number. I told him, I said, by the way, if you ask for Olympus, President Nixon will come on the line. He says, nah, you're kidding me. Let's try it. So I says, well, look, you didn't get it from me, okay? So sure enough, this guy calls up the number, asks for Olympus. And when the President Nixon came on the line, he says, sir, we have a national crisis on our hands. We're out of toilet paper. And everybody laughed.
Oh, man.
Oh, yipe. You get, you know, he gets the president on the phone, and that's what's said, but that's funny. That is a funny story.
That story has been around every, you know, every net, and
it's been on my site, you know. I mean, when I put up, that was like one of the first stories I put up, because it happened like so long ago that there's just no way, you know. I mean, it was just calling up this number. I didn't think it was breaking the law or anything.
Yeah.
Besides, I wasn't even the one doing it. It was like somebody else doing it, so.
Yeah,
and there's some other stuff on my website. I just encourage people to go up to webcrunchers.com/crunch and read some of the stories up there. The site's undergoing some changes. So if you get some bad links, go to the Crunch TV website forums page and let me know.
Okie dokie.
Sounds good.
So any other questions out there from any of your listeners?
Well, Renee was asking basically, let me scroll back and see what it was. You know, how did you get interested in phones in the first place? Did you play with them when you were like a little kid, you know, 5, 6 years old? At what point did this stuff...
When I was in the Air Force...
Interest you.
I was stationed at very remote places. And the only thing that I had to connect me with all my friends was a telephone. And in the military, you can make calls over watch lines and over other Air Force lines. And I would use that to make my call home. I'd call a base near me who would then connect me to an off-base number. And they only provided that service for the people that were stationed in remote places. It was like a perk, but it was like an unofficial perk, if you know what I mean. And that sort of got me interested. And then once I was there, I had nothing better to do than to sit a long time and play around with the entire North American air defense phone system. I mean, just to keep, you know, it was pretty boring where
yeah.
I work.
And, of course, they were very worried that you knew about it. I remember that was one of the things that kind of got you into trouble because they were afraid you kind of knew too much.
Well, I think that by putting me in jail, they just exposed me to everybody else who you don't want to know about it.
There's that.
Like all the other criminals in there. That was a really stupid thing they did, really, because I can't tell you how many people I gave this information to.
Wow.
And I wasn't going to not give this information because I value my life.
Yeah really.
Right, exactly.
So
there has been more than once where I have been... quote, unquote, persuaded to release information that I would normally not release to anybody.
Ah, yes.
Makes sense.
When you're put under certain duress, people with big muscles and certain capabilities might do you some harm.
Yeah, I've got a bad back that can attest to that fact.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
Yeah, and tell me about it.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I guess I shouldn't have said that.
Probably not in those words, no.
Sorry about that.
That's okay, I guess. It's done now. try to keep that off.
Damn, question. Mr. Free Radio, Internet Radio, and Satellite Radio. We can say anything you want. You can't do that on broadcast.
That's right.
That's right.
One quick question, I guess, or maybe not so quick, but do you know anything much, or did you know very much about the phone system that AT&T had for their internal use? I didn't know too much about it. I managed to get into it through using a call diverter that was used to dial 611 to get for operators to dial into other areas to report breakdowns of systems. And I figured out how to use it, and the thing that told me that it was a completely separate system is it had no 505 area code.
Uh-oh. I think we lost him.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
That tells us he's gone. I wonder if he'll call back or what the deal was. The government got him for saying a bad word.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, there you go. Oops.
Yeah.
Oopsie. Ah, there he comes back, maybe. Hopefully. We'll see if Dwayne can get that and take care of it for us. And you're listening to Tech This for the 22nd of April, the 21st of April, I'm sorry.
We got him back.
Okay, good.
Alrighty.
I'm back.
The government got
anyway,
you.
Yeah, Ari's seen the chat room, says, oh my God, he got whistled off.
Yeah, right. I was going to point out that the one of the things that I knew that was a completely internal system is that it had no 505 area code because there were apparently no AT&T phones in Albuquerque, you know, in the New Mexico.
Right. I'm looking at my asterisk logs here, and I don't see anything weird. Let's see. Oh yeah, here it is. Oh, is making progress, passing it to.
Just look for an NTIA intercept, and that'll be that's what cut you off right there.
What's an NTIA intercept?
That's the National Telecommunications. I can't remember what the IA stands for, agency, but. It was more being weird than anything
Information
else.
Information agency, I think.
Oh. Yeah, anyway.
Steve in the chat room was asking if you got Asterix running up on a Mac.
Yeah, it's running on a G4.
And how did you do that? I guess he was...
Well, I had my friend from Tokyo actually set it up for me. He did the installation, set up my Dell plan, and then I'm using Voice Stunt for outgoing and Voice Pulse for incoming. I've got two separate providers. I have one provider for outgoing and another one provider for incoming.
But last I knew there wasn't...
But I have no E911 service here. But I have a big thing on my phone with a big warning label saying, this phone cannot connect to emergency numbers, and I put the police number right next to it.
Well, that's good. That way if someone's there that doesn't know, they'll be warned.
Yeah. I mean, it's a simple solution to everything. I mean, if they're so worried about making 911 calls, you know, actually making requests, all somebody has to do is just simply put a little thing on their phone saying, emergency,
you know,
police,
what,
fire,
you know what
and
you
that's
could
it.
Do? I just thought of this. Being that's Asterix, you could set up in your dial plan or whatever, that if someone dials 911, it just immediately dials the 7-digit number.
Yeah, exactly. I could actually do that. You're absolutely right. I could do that.
I just thought of that. I
Good point. Yeah, there you go. I could have done that. Yeah. I'll make a note of that right now. Thanks.
See, we're good for something.
911 in my dial plan.
Just a thought.
Yep.
I guess they were kind of asking how you got it. I mean, I don't know if there's a port for it. Is it for Mac? How did you get it to run on the Mac?
Well, I know Mark Spencer pretty well, and I know his group of people. And so, and
we've
a lot
had,
of the people that...
We've had Mark Spencer on the air before, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so... the dial plan and stuff like that, it took a while to get it set up. I'm not really happy with my outgoing service because for some reason at all the touchtones... doesn't work, but I think that it could be my IAX card. I have an IAX card called IAX card, and it's a little $70 device that I plug my regular handset phone into, you know, PSTN phone into it. And the other end of the cable goes to my hub.
Is that that little box that's like smaller than a pack of cigarettes?
Yeah, exactly. It's a little blue thing.
The AXI device or whatever people call it. Yeah.
The IAX. Yeah, it's IAX box. I mean, it's from Digium. You get it from the people, the same people that do the...
Right.
We actually, asterisk.
Right, we actually interviewed the Digium people about, what, a half a year ago or so? They were very nice.
It was weird. We had Mark Spencer and a bunch of people, like three or four of his friends and developers.
Well, a lot of the phone freaks, the old school phone freaks, started to do blue boxes. All of us now have our own PBX service running. And we have our own network now. We can put up our own conference lines, or our own phone system, our own NPA, everything.
Yep. By the way, we have a phone call.
Dave.
Okay.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Okay. Hello, and hello, Captain Crunch.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Yeah, a question. I read either in the Esquire article or some other place on the Internet of you allegedly, back in the old school freak days, actually be able to take a stab at one payphone and call a payphone next to it completely around the globe. How did you manage to do that when different systems around the world use different signaling methods? Because from what I understand,
that's what made it possible, actually.
Yeah, but how did you do that when, you know, the standard blue box stuff was just basically North America, right?
Well, we knew what the signaling frequencies were for Australia, and we knew what the signaling frequencies were for the UK. So we just emulated them. The nice thing about it was, if I send a signal information to Australia, my local US system won't respond to it, which is really nice. It makes it even possible to do that to begin with.
In other words, there were a whole bunch of different MF tones that were different than the standard stuff that was used in North America.
Exactly.
And you essentially had to build mechanical devices to simulate all those.
Yeah. Well, it was one of them, I think, was 600 hertz. Another one was 2280. Another one was 2400.
And did they use the same MF tones, or were their MF tones different than the ones used in the States?
Well, they were using outpulsing with 600 hertz, I think, or something like that, or a mixture of 600 plus some other frequency. I'm not exactly sure of the signaling method that they used.
So that
but
was
yeah,
essentially.
It was certain...
So that was essentially how you girdle the globe.
Yeah, when you get to a point like the UK, you can double up on the STD codes.
Okay, could you elucidate? I don't get what you mean, double up on the STD. I don't know that jargon.
Well, the STD codes are the UK phone system. You make an STD code is like an area code, and you can stack area codes. And it forwards the call. It forwards the pulses your phone makes. It repeats it down the line. And that's what makes it possible to do all that.
Okay, because my knowledge from all this has been reading on the net and, you know, listening on that great Phone Trip site.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot. Do appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, thank you. And T&D and Dwayne, great show.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay.
Okay, there he goes, Dave Marthouse from Virginia.
Okay, yeah. So would you guys do me a favor, just before I break off, I wanted to get your contact information as well.
Sure, we can do that. As soon as we go, I'll take you off the air and take that info.
Sounds good.
I'll give you that. All right. Blair in the chat room asks a question. He says, ask John to comment on a recent story that AT&T has provided full network access to the government for internet monitoring. He wanted your thought on that.
Well, it doesn't surprise me in the least to have them monitor internet. I mean, anybody right now, in especially post 9/11, is going to always say, "Okay, you can always assume they're going to be listening to you, man. You've got cameras everywhere, Big Brother's listening to you. Just make that assumption, and you can't go wrong." But as far as them listening to the calls, I don't really care. I don't care. If there's something private that I need to say, I encrypt my messages and I send it that way. If they want to go ahead and try to break up my 4096-bit key and they want to try to tie up the NSA's computers for 3 or 4 weeks at a time, fine, let them go ahead and do it. It's going to be a very personal message and it'll be a waste of their time. Yeah. There's good programs out there for encryption. There's also PGP phone out there now, too, a new one that lets you communicate over the phone with encryption. So wiretapping, it doesn't concern me anymore. And it shouldn't concern anybody else because there's such strong encryption out there right now available to a person. If they want to protect their privacy, then they can use encryption. And even Skype is encrypted. So, you know, a good Skype PC-to-PC Skype call is all it takes, and they're not going to listen to what you're going to say.
Do you really? I believe what you're saying, but I just have trouble believing that the government either doesn't have keys or are good enough at decrypting this stuff. Or that there's a back door. There could be a back door in Skype that's available to them, too, that we don't know about.
Well, Skype is a European company, which makes me feel a little bit better about using them. And European companies and the European mindset in general, as opposed to the American mindset, is much, much more intolerant to privacy invasion. So the average European person is going to be very, very picky about his privacy, much more so than the average American. So the company Skype that provides the service is going to... It wouldn't surprise me if they did have a backdoor, but I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
I guess the thought is if it really needs to be that private, don't use anything. Don't use any communications method, maybe other than in person or something.
Right.
You know?
If you're that scared, you know, just don't do it over the net. Don't send anybody any letters.
A 96-bit key and the old PGP will work just fine.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
PGP stands for Pretty Good Privacy, and it is pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard of it, and it's been around a while in various forms. Rob in the chat room is asking the question. I think I know the answer, but he says, ask him if freaking is still possible today.
Why?
Well, a lot of the people that are in our group aren't out there necessarily to want to freak because we need to make phone calls. With all this VoIP stuff where, you know, a few dollars a month gets you unlimited, you know, it doesn't matter. But I think some people are, one, just curious, and two, would be, again, the thrill of actually trying it and making it do something,
for the thrill of sounding the relays clicking, easy, go to Wide Web and phone trips.
Yeah. I suppose if someone wanted to, they could make an interactive site.
Whistle and chirp ever possible. That's probably the richest collection of phone tones imaginable.
Mm-hmm. I think for the most part, it's just the thrill of being able to do it. Getting.
Yeah, out. Obviously that.
And a lot of people in our group are young enough that they've missed all of this stuff. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why the Phone Trips website is so popular, because people could actually listen to what we had go through.
Aristotle is asking says, what's the maximum allowed encryption strength for the U.S.? I don't know the answer to that.
I think it's 128 bits, but I'm not sure.
128 bits? Okay.
But, you know, like I said, encryption... I mean, if you have to encrypt your stuff, you're either going to be a government agency, or you're going to be a criminal, or you're going to be, somebody else. I mean, but no matter what, if you have to encrypt your data to protect your privacy, by all means, do it. It's important.
Diane says people are still cracking PBX systems.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
And corporate voicemail and stuff like that. Before you go, I guess they're saying we should give out the other number. If we want to take another quick call, we could do that. 312.
Yeah, take one more quick call, and I'll handle one more, and then I need to give you the information. By the way, if you want me, Mac, come back on again later, a couple of weeks, a month or so.
That'd be great. We'd love that.
But I have to see what's going on.
Sure.
Okay, because we definitely would like to have you on for at least another go-round. The number 312-884-7612 is available.
312 what?
Well, that's the... Yeah, you're certainly welcome to keep that number in your contacts. That's one of our call-in numbers I was just giving out.
Oh, that's your call-in number. Okay.
One of them, anyway. But if you want to write that down as a number...
No, I thought that was for me to write down.
No.
Well, you can if you want, yeah.
The one that you used is fine. That's a regular landline.
Diane in the chat room says, by the way, common encryption in the States is triple DES.
Yeah, I have to agree. That's true.
I would just make one comment. People were asking about whether freaking stuff is still possible. I would say that even though some of it may be, you'd have to really be careful. You've got to know what the law is and, you know, what your chances of getting caught. Because people have, on occasion, even in very recent history, been caught
equipment. Right now, it's illegal to possess a blue box.
Exactly.
You
can't do anything.
It's still in the law.
Yeah.
So if you have a blue box, you could get busted for that.
That's right.
And that law is not going to change.
Even
because
though
that law is already there.
Right. Even though the box is totally useless
to do anything with it. And there are still a few things, like I guess some of the red box stuff probably still works. But again, the risk of getting in trouble for it is really not worth the thrill of doing it, in my opinion. I mean, it was interesting at the time, and it's certainly interesting to listen to the phone trip stuff.
Gotta remember, this stuff's been around for 20 years, and you'd think by 20 years by now that they'd wake up to that fact, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What's that one that I think still works in some areas, Redbox?
Yeah,
that's the one for the pay phones.
Still.
I definitely
got rid of that years ago.
Yep.
I think mostly it's in the, you know, tiny little towns.
I know they were using greeting cards.
What's that?
You go down and you can use a greeting card, and you can make the money into the payphone, record it, and put it into a greeting card.
Because you get a cheap.
Also, they were modifying Radio Shack dialers.
I remember that. Yeah, and as I said, people got into trouble for it, unfortunately. So, you know, I definitely remember, I forgot what station, but one of the shows I heard was where you were doing the payphone thing around the world, and it was very interesting to hear the tandems unstack at the end. It was like 20 of them or something.
Yeah, but you go up to the wide web. Web phone trips website, and it'll be up there. All of those are up there.
Renee says, "Do you know what the phone number pairs were actually for? Where two people would dial a number, one digit off, and they'd connect to each other? I mean, what was that set up for?
Yeah, that's a loop around number.
Do what now?
That's a loop around number.
Yep.
But I mean, what was
you call the A side, you get the tone. You measure the level of the tone. You call the B side, you send the tone down the B side to the A side. You measure the level of the tone again. The difference between the two levels is the line loss between the phone A and phone B.
Basically, they were there for phone company testing primarily.
So they weren't there for conferences.
No,
that's not what the That's what we're.
No, they were never intended for that.
In fact, eventually they tended to filter them, so the only thing you could put down them was a tone.
Usually, a thousand cycle tone.
Exactly.
And they had pretty darn effective filters too.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're all LC filters.
Is that phone trip site yours, or is that someone else that runs it?
That's somebody else.
Okay, Rob in the chat room was asking me to ask you to convert everything in there is on real audio, and he think it'd be better if we had it up there as MP3s. So he was asking me to ask
no
you, and I'm like,
I have over that site.
I'm sorry.
I have no control. Okay. You need to go up to that site and try to find out who the owner of that site
is. I thought it wasn't you, but I wasn't sure.
No,
obviously, it's
no
big deal to download
that.
Them and convert them. There's programs that'll just convert real audio to MP3 on the fly. So.
Obviously, they're putting in the stuff in real audio because more people have real audio. I mean, the reality is people have very little trouble getting that. MP3 takes more effort for people to get, so they're trying to reach the most people.
Most people that have Windows machines probably have real audio on it from the factory. When they got it was already there. Sadly.
Yep. But we should probably have Dwayne take you off air and let you get back to what you need to do.
Yeah, and Dwayne, once you get me off air, I want to get your email addresses down.
We'll do that. And of course, Daryl, what you want me to do, I'm going to have to wait till after I hang up with him, actually. I can't do, you know, I'm not set
well,
up.
Okay. Well,
okay, that's fine, Dwayne. I just wanted you to play something, so don't worry about it. I'll just talk while you're talking to him. Then we'll do that later.
Okay,
that's fine.
All right. Well, I guess since we got to go, I think that catches us up on the questions and stuff.
Yep.
And
I can try to come back later and
Sounds
do it
great.
In maybe a couple months or something.
Sounds good to us.
That would be good.
Okay,
Everybody in the chat room
so
is saying
you
thank
want
you.
Me to just stay on here until you.
Yeah, just hang in there and
I will. I will pot you off our side, and we'll get to you in just a moment.
So we want to thank you very much for being here.
Definitely.
Yeah, you bet. No problem. I just hope people will realize to realize that just to be careful on the internet.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with
Practice
you on that.
Practice safe computing.
You know, be safe.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Thanks
it's
a lot.
It's a dangerous thing out there.
We'll catch you later.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay,
right.
You guys. Take
and
care,
just hold on the line, please.
Okay, we're going to...
There we go. Now, if he wants to sit, I can go find that file and set it up. I wasn't...
That's okay. I can actually play it here. I was originally wanting you to play it while he was... Originally, I thought I'd have you play it while he was still on the line, but I'll just play it from down here, because I actually do have it.
Okay. Well, thanks to John Draper, a.k.a. Captain Crunch. Do we want to say what he might be doing for us, or...?
I think we'll save that as a surprise.
So we may hear from him soon about some other stuff. So.
That's right.
Yep. And so hold on there, and Tom can answer that phone. Mm-hmm. But I will play this. Okay, that was called the MF Boogie. You can decide what MF stood for. Multi-freak probably was the thing. I guess I could go ahead and patch. Tom is actually on the phone with someone, and I don't know if they want to go on the air. Do they want to go on the air?
They will. I think they will go on the air. Well, actually, I can put them on the air. Oh, okay. You can do that. I can put them down here. All right. We'll see if it works, anyway.
Okay, see what you got. Oh, okay there. You should be on the air, but I need to hang up this phone.
Okay. I probably kicked something there. Testing. Hello, hold on.
Anyway, we're
on it. Who's on here?
It's the Analog Anarchist. Hello there.
Hi, guys. Are we on?
I hear you.
Okay. I don't know if this has been on the national news yet, but right in this neighborhood of Central Maine, there's a very bizarre story of a gentleman who came down from Canada to visit some relatives, and he looked up... On the sex offenders website, where people that have been convicted of various sex crimes have to have their address registered.
Right.
He looked up two of these people and took out a gun and blew them away.
Ew.
I heard something about one of them happening the other day.
Yes, it was, yes.
And they said that one of them was only, the only reason he was even on the list is that he was like a 19-year-old who'd had sex with his, like, almost 16-year-old, I mean, 2 weeks from being 16-year-old girlfriend.
You got it, and I think they were still living together and had a small child.
Yeah.
But, there's a controversy here because, they've already, legally, in legal terms, they've already paid their debt to society. If they've been convicted and served their time, then, you know, what's wrong with a clean slate? And the other thing is, what, nobody ever heard of a wrongful conviction?
They
executed people that were innocent. So the state took this website down for one day, and now it's all still back up, and there isn't even a distinction made whether it's a child molester or someone. You don't have any other information, but this is a convicted sex offender, and this is where they are. So here's a reverse predator goes and takes this information that was supposedly, being an anarchist, supposedly promulgated for the public good, that people don't want to have their young children, you know, living in close proximity. So now two people are just killed for it.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, like, one of them had spent like 3 or 4 months in jail. As I say, they were 19 at the time. They were 24 when they got murdered. And, you know, what is the responsibility? Like you said, one, isn't it possible that people are, you know, pay for their crime? Isn't it pretty important that they follow through and try to decide whether somebody is logically going to be a repeat offender, or at least has much chance of it, if they're even going to have one of these things? I think these public forums may not be all that, you know, safe anyway. Certainly they're not going to stop somebody. It might make somebody feel better, but the fact is there's an awful lot of people who have never been caught. So, consequently, there's still a lot of people running around who can do damage to 8-year-old kids.
I think you hit it there. Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Without actually accomplishing anything intelligent.
And the damage it does to our constitutional liberties in this country are really,
exactly.
You know, it's bad enough that somebody goes to prison and has trouble finding a legitimate job from then on because they're carrying the word felon after their name. I mean, they might, again, have been an 18-year-old or even younger and tried as an adult. You know, and they can carry this the rest of their life, and it can make it extremely difficult in a competitive job market to get a job. And then you have things like this where, again, who knows what the circumstances are? It could have been consensual sex that ended up in a situation where, you know, it just, like you say, you know, like we were saying, was like an underage thing or some other circumstance that would not normally be a problem. And again, it puts this person on a list forever. And the, you know, how constitutional is that? How right
but
is
it,
that?
It, in this age now, it's not even just a list that's shared among law enforcement. Everybody has a computer and has access to the internet, including people that are, you know, maybe less mentally balanced than the person who was convicted of a crime in the first place.
That's
so
right.
Much so that they get a gun across the border. Don't ask me how. With the intent of killing these people, and his car broke down or something, and they caught him on a bus in Boston somewhere, and the demented person blew themselves away rather than being caught. So,
yeah.
What a state of affairs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I certainly have to say that this raises really, you know, interesting questions. And I mean, I've heard a lot of the arguments, and an awful lot of people are really worried about their children in situations like this.
Well, right, they all believe in the rule of law, and they all trust law enforcement. So I don't, but they have those bracelets and stuff. Isn't it enough that law enforcement knows where they are?
Yeah. It would seem to me, and a lot of times, you know, whether, again, it's a good idea or not, in most cases, the local law enforcement will inform people in the neighborhood if a convicted sex offender moves in. And hopefully, with providing that information, they also may be able to provide some idea of what kind of a person that was in terms of if he's likely to repeat. You know, is it really a legitimate thing that this person is a problem, or is it, you know, likely to be one of those things where, again, it was falling between the cracks, getting arrested for something that shouldn't have happened, maybe?
Or getting arrested for something that they didn't do and haven't.
Well, that's exactly right.
I mean, they've admitted to executing people wrongfully. found it. Oh, yeah, by the way, now we have DNA evidence. Well, he couldn't have done the crime. Well,
yeah.
Too bad. He had his trial.
And in fact, unfortunately, something like 67% or thereabouts, maybe not exactly, but my recollection is that it's in the 60s as far as the percentage of mistaken, people that they had thrown on to death row, and they've had to, now rethink a lot of this stuff over the years.
Well, in this area that we're talking about, in the sex offenders, it's such a hot-button issue. There was a whole period we went through where they were trumping up these, they were coaching the kids and DAs were trying to make a reputation on this. Oh, we got all these, all these kids are being molested. And a lot of these were totally fabricated, yet they got their convictions.
That's right. In fact, there was a case, I think, in Texas where one of the labs was completely fraudulent. The investigator that was getting all the brownie points got brought out as a fraud a couple of years back, and obviously all of his cases are then suspect, but and probably completely fraudulent. But the problem is, are they going to go back and revisit all of those cases? What are the circumstances there?
And the thing that a lot of people have to take into consideration, and all this stuff about sex offenders and everything else, it's a hot button issue. But come on, folks, you can think what you want, but sex has been practiced and accomplished between people since time immemorial. If it wasn't for sex, there wouldn't be anybody here. And there are places in this country where you can be 13 years old or 14 years old and get married if you have your parents' permission or the parents' permission of both parties involved. So, come on, it's not that horrible a thing. Just stop making such a big deal out of it.
I mean, again, if it's somebody attacking a 3-year-old,
oh,
that's
absolutely.
One thing.
And if it's not consensual,
a whole lot of the time it isn't.
And if it's not consensual, there is a big difference. I mean, that whole business about that school teacher that had, that had sex.
Which
with
one? The one on the West Coast?
I don't remember.
They obviously wanted each other. What's the problem?
Exactly. they wanted to be together, for crying out loud. Stop all your nosiness. Get your damn nose out of everybody else's business.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Well, then don't do it. If you don't like how it looks, then you don't do it. So. Well, we're having a good laugh over it, but it was not funny. Really
look back to the hideous thing that happened at the McMartin preschool years and years ago.
Right, where they claimed that there was all this witch.
That's the one.
Whatever the heck it was, all this, the sorcery or whatever being done to these kids, and that turned out again to not be legitimate. It was people putting ideas into these kids' heads. And it ruined an awful lot of people's lives.
Well, they got 3 convictions out of it, I think.
Exactly.
I think so.
The thing is, and they were all proven false later on.
Mm-hmm. Later on, after they had already, spent their time in
exactly. It's just.
And what did it do to the kids? I mean, can you imagine the kind of invasive quizzing of, preschool, kindergarten-aged kids?
I mean, it was not a matter of tell us what happened. It was a matter of did they do this? Did they do that? And shoving ideas into their heads.
Exactly. When they're not mentally developed enough to reason with someone who's leading them. I mean, it's
absolutely
a suggestion.
A lot of times, it's people doing stuff. And again, some of this happens with some of these, supposed sexual predator cases as well, where you get an aggressive prosecutor who is leading on these kids, and they're saying yes for the approval because they're too young to understand exactly what it is they're doing.
And what will happen to the person that they're implicating?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, it's certainly a murky issue and a nightmarish issue. I don't think we're going to solve the problem. But,
well, they got the guy's laptop.
It should be brought up, and people should really think about it, because from a a real sense of right and wrong. There are some real travesties to things that we built our Constitution on in this country.
That's exactly right. That was my comment for the night, and I enjoyed the earlier part of the program.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye bye. And can you hang that up?
I did.
Okay.
And
pull down the
other two controls.
Pull down those pots. Yeah, that'll work.
Is done.
That was the analog anarchist.
Anarchist.
Oh, okay.
And.
Oh yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes good sense.
Right.
So,
By the way, you'll be happy to know that I sliced up earlier the...
Liverwurst?
Mm-hmm.
Could you make me a liverwurst sandwich by any chance?
Well, not while I'm talking on the radio.
Probably not, no.
I could do that.
That would be appreciated extremely much, because even though liver isn't as good as some people think it is, I like it, but
yeah.
I like liverwurst a lot better.
It's good stuff.
Good stuff.
I mean, I couldn't help having a slice while I was slicing
it. Oh, I know. It's just it just can't be helped. REC says liver is worst. No.
Liver is good if it's done right.
Yes.
It has to be cooked correctly.
What, liverwurst has to be cooked?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said? I don't know.
No, liver has to be cooked.
Oh. Liver has to be taken care of, taken away.
No.
It seems there's a lot of people who do not like liver.
Well, hopefully we will have him back on soon.
Yes.
That was cool. And I got the feeling he wanted to do more about computers than about phones.
Well, I think
well,
so.
I think
that's his life
that's
right now.
One of the reasons we kind of let him do that. I did want to get into some of the early stuff, and I think it's what attracts a lot of people. But at the same time, it's old history, and I think he's kind of dealing with what he's doing now.
Yeah, there were some people that, there were a couple of thoughts in the chat room. One was exactly what you're saying. That's old stuff, and you know maybe he's worn out and tired of everybody asking him about all that.
Yep. Well, I know that you know at one point. One of the shows he was on, and I guess it might have been Press Agents or something, but they didn't even want him to talk about the other stuff. All he could talk about was his new whatever project he was working on. And, you know, the show was okay, but I felt it was, you know, I thought it was at least a good idea to at least, you know, slip in a little of the history without hopefully dwelling on it too much.
I'm guessing that he didn't have a problem himself talking about the stuff. I think it might have been, you know, his handlers or whatever you want to call it.
Right, and it may not even be true.
And it might even have been, and it might even have been the
as it was then.
It might even have been the show host that he was, whose program he was on.
As far as I know, it wasn't the show host.
Okay,
it seemed like it was because they seemed to have a, you know, they weren't real thrilled about it, but they were willing to live with it because they got the interview.
REC in the chat room says, yeah, mainstream media does not care about phone phreaking.
Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, yeah.
Well, this wasn't a mainstream. This was one of the hacker shows he was on.
Right. I think he just
I think it might have been Ben Rev.
Oh, okay. Well, I have
whatever
to say,
show it was,
I certainly enjoyed the conversation. I was,
absolutely.
I was, you know, having a good time, so.
Yep.
Let's just, I suspect that we will try to get him on again and have another and once he's been on and knows that we're not going to, you know, tear him apart or something,
right.
I think he'll be happy to be back with us.
Yep.
So that's good. And we will definitely be hearing from him again fairly soon in another venue.
I think that's right.
That's right. Another project.
Different project.
I hate when the mount in such a position that the mic droops and it's pointing straight down and it's like I'm talking into the side of the mic. And
yeah.
That's not good.
That's true. It's not as good that way.
Yeah. We are in the chat room at irc.dishnuts.net.
And where is Byron at the moment?
Well, he landed a long time ago. We were tracking the Byron all of us this afternoon on FlightAware. He landed at Midway at, let me look here, at 8:37 p.m. Central Daylight Time. It was a 54-minute flight from Omaha.
Okay.
Which is where he left late. He left at 2:58 Mountain Time. Supposed to leave at 2:24. left Phoenix Sky Harbor bound for Epley Airfield in Omaha. Landed there at 7:43 Central, and no, excuse me, landed there at 7:12, and took off at 7:43. So very short layover there.
Right.
And left there at 7:43 and arrived at MDW, which is Midway, at 8:37 p.m. A neat site that Brad told me about called Flight Aware. If you know the flight, and you can even track this stuff, if you don't know the flight number, you can say, I want to see all the flights inbound and outbound for this particular airport. And I have put in KMQB, which turns out to be Macomb, and watch all the inbound and outbound flights. A lot of times there's stuff going to Champaign and, you know, various chartered and agricultural. And you can see it all.
Cool.
Everything's tracked and pretty cool. It's called Flight Aware.
Is that like AdAware?
Yeah.
It removes all the flights on your computer?
Yeah. It removes all the planes from the sky, yeah. That's
ooh.
REC says he's going to Epley Airfield in early May.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing there. It's Omaha.
Yeah.
He went to Chicago via Omaha.
Yeah.
Because he did. He had a half-hour layover there from Phoenix. Yeah, REC says most IFR flights are on FlightAware. I think IFR is instrument flight rating or something like that.
Cool.
This is nice.
Yes.
So that was pretty cool. So he is there in Chicago.
Well, he should probably, if he isn't, be at
Carms
pretty soon, I would think.
Yeah, I would think pretty soon.
He landed at 8:37, and it's 4 minutes to 10. If you got out of there right away, Christy takes like 10 minutes to get him home. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
So right. I'm thinking sooner or later he'll probably find a machine to get on.
And he'll be like,
Unless he's really tired and just goes to sleep or something.
Yeah, that terrible jet lag, you know, that terrible amount of time shift that that he went through.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
what did I say? Everybody's saying instrument flight rules. What did I say?
I don't know. Rating, I think.
Okay. Well, that's why I don't have the pilot's license. Yeah, I can't even tell you what IFR and I think V is visual flight rules. So, you got to be even better for that. I've always thought about it, and if I had the money, a few years ago, I probably would have. I've checked into some flight schools about getting the basic level, the first level of.
I knew somebody when I was in Dixon that was doing some flight stuff, and obviously we went out that one time to the airport thing where they had that pancake breakfast and. Had flight stuff there.
Oh, they probably will again. Every year we have here in Macomb at the end of June called Heritage Days, and one of the things they do during that weekend is they have kind of like an open house at the Macomb Airport, and it's a fly-in, but they also sell and give away, if you get lucky, free rides in planes and helicopters and stuff like that. Aristotle
and there's lots of hobbyists that show up for that, and definitely interesting stuff.
There's another reason I wouldn't mind being a pilot. It's purely selfish because then if I'm the one that's in charge of the plane, I can say who brings a ham radio aboard and uses it, which would of course be me. And if I key up and see an instrument die, I know that was me, and I can stop keying up, and you know it's.
Yep,
because it's cool. I have
well, the other thing I would like
pilots and you know while they were in flight. 1 year it was in Dayton, in fact.
Yep. One of the things I would like about being a pilot or having somebody as a pilot that I knew is the ability to get somewhere fairly easily and quickly. Whereas, you know, normal thing, you know, you're at such the mercy of the schedules and. The fact that at least if you're dealing with a car, I mean, you can go several hundred miles and it just doesn't take hardly any time at all by plane.
There's that.
So it just makes it a lot more convenient.
We have a Byron update from Leanne in the chat room.
Aha.
They are 5 minutes from the house.
Aha.
I guess the where Byron.com needs to be updated. Yeah, that's it.
Uh-huh. Well, she seems to be doing that. Thank you, Gillian.
That's right. Well, I remember one